All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, we're headed to the fireworks factory, but I wanted to stop by this GameStop pick up. They've got a copy of the PS3 Metal Gear Solid HD collection, which is really rare.
Oh.
So they've got it waiting for me here. So I just wanted to go in there and grab that while we head to the fireworks factory. And wait, 1 second. Sorry. 1 second. Sorry. It's my mom. Yeah. Hey, Mom. Hey, how's it? Oh no, I'm at GameStop with Gary. No. I'm picking up Metal Gear Solid. No. No, we don't have Metal Gear Solid at home. I told you before I left. No. Okay. No. Okay. So yeah, go ahead and send me the picture. All right. Okay. Sorry. My mom says we have Metal Gear Solid at home.
Yeah. The HD collection.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's, you know, different this time.
Yeah.
So I'm going, yeah, just, it's coming through. What do we have here? All right. And what the fuck is left alive? Oh wait, game computer.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what that is for $1 million based on the title.
No, it could be anything.
Like, what does that mean? That could literally be anything. This doesn't look like anything to me.
Let's find out.
Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And wind up your radios, Dementites and Dementoids. It's the Dr. Demento Show. Get ready for 2 hours of mad music and crazy comedy from our vaults and off the walls.
It's not going to be 2 hours. It's not.
Oh, yeah, it is. the fuck you say.
I've got things to do.
I'm in this to win it.
I've got things to do, Gary.
Yeah, record for 2 hours on Left Alive.
Eagle-eared listeners will know my ringtone is the theme song to Taxi, so that's fun.
Yeah. For a little while, whenever I got in Will's car, he would start playing that, and it was really funny. but he's gotten inconsistent with it, but it was really fun for a little while.
Poor Will. What happened with his car? Does he have a lead on getting it back, or is it just, it's gone, man?
I don't know yet. The last time I talked to him about it, he was just mad about it, which makes sense, but I got no updates.
Ugh, terrible.
Yeah. What a ridiculous thing to have happen.
Watching the Batman and his car get stolen. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's Batman now? You know, like Batman would protect people watching his own movie.
Is Will
they should assign a Batman to the parking lot of every showing.
Is like Will Santa going Claus. To become the knight? Come on.
Yeah. Or like, this is his origin story for something.
Yeah.
You know? So this is a cold joint. Explain to me how you stumbled upon this pile of shit. Not to AVGN it, but this is real bad. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. I follow a number of just games deals, Twitters, mm-hmm. you know, your Wario's 64 and your cheap ass gamers and such. And something came up and I laughed at it because it had a super vague title, Left Alive. And they post the cover and I was like, that's just fucking Metal Gear. It's literally just a shameless like Metal Gear art style on the front of this. And so I clicked through and I saw it was like $10 on Amazon. And I saw that I looked at the gameplay footage and it's like, okay, there are walking mechs. And it just mm-hmm. looks just shamelessly like Metal Gear. So I figured it'd be fun and pretty cheap for us to do just basically Metal Gear. So I ordered some copies of this for us. And it wasn't until I fired it up and heard the word Wanzer in the opening title that I realized that this is a Front Mission spinoff.
Yeah, it's a real gross like game jam of ideas. Like Kojima was consulted on this. Like, and it looks like Metal Gear art because it's the guy who did the Metal Gear art.
Uh-huh.
Who does, that's what his art looks like.
Yeah, that's his concept art style.
It's what he does. So it's all these people getting together to just form like something pretty bad. Like not to AVGN it. But this, as far as stuff we've done, this is one of the more like simultaneously boring and then just like real, real bad and not in a charming way.
Yeah.
Games we've done for a while, I think.
Yeah.
On this show.
Inexcusable for 2019, I think. The amount of clunk that is inherent to this is, I mean, it makes it kind of feel like you're playing this with like fire, like I don't know, maybe like those fireproof, heatproof mittens that blacksmiths use.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's not even, so it's worth explaining.
Hey, Gary, you got real mad. I need you to back off the microphone just a little.
Oh. I'm not mad. I was just, what I want to do is I want to head off a discussion or a counterpoint about this, which is like, I think that we understand the difference between good and bad jank.
Yes. Yeah.
And jank is not inherently bad.
Right.
So I don't want someone to come away from this and be like, oh, it's a C plus game that has some jank. I love those.
Yeah.
Because it's not that. Like, it's not Dirge of Cerberus good.
Right. You know? Like, the mark of quality that is the Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah. It's worse than Dirge of Cerberus, I think.
Yeah. Dirge of Cerberus at least has some fluidity to it. Yeah.
Yes. This just feels real bad.
Yeah, I like the idea. So, you know, Front Mission is entirely concerned with, okay, these mechs fighting each other. Like, and I think both of us, we enjoy like Front Mission 3 specifically. Like, I did a fist pump when they announced that they were going to re-release that or do like the updated remake. Yeah,
we're both into it. I'm afraid to revisit it because I wonder if it holds up. But right. At the time, I really liked it.
Yeah, it's just it was a good mix at the time, right? And I never really followed the series after that, like when it made a move to other systems. But like, yeah, I regard it pretty well. But the idea of like, okay, so what does, you know, a foot soldier, like how does that work operating on foot in a world where most combat is, you know, done by these tanks? Like, what is it like to be on the ground in a city that is being bowled over by these things, right?
Yeah, like the real life dark side of mech fiction is that even if there was one mech, the world would instantly become a nightmare.
Yeah,
because it would just be ruining the roads you can drive and just smashing buildings, and like the world cannot support a single mech.
No, it must be abhorred.
Nature abhors a mech. but what it's like to be on the ground is a cool idea about that. Even if there weren't mechs. Mm-hmm. You know, being somebody who is on the ground in enemy territory, having to improvise to survive, is a cool idea. And that's the hook of this game. It's like a stealth game and full of improvised weaponry. You know, you can make a bunch of different kinds of grenades and noise making things and distraction devices and stuff.
Yeah,
it's let down in two big ways to me, or three big ways. One, it feels really bad to control.
Yep.
It is difficult and unreliable to do the things you want to do. I don't like that there are so many complicated menu UI things for crafting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I just kept finding tutorials on how to make different kinds of throwable nonsense continuously.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to indicate what would make them different or better or their use case.
Gigantic tutorial. I mean, just a big splat of text and images put up there filling the screen. It's like a tutorial's guest written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes. Yeah. It really, really obnoxious. And then the AI is obviously really horrible. This is the thing that the game is famously bad.
Yes.
For.
Yeah. There are memes of just how bad the AI was. I also found it very difficult. Like, I ended up hitting a wall in this super early. You get to the first big open area where there are enemy soldiers milling about. I'm like, okay, I know how to deal with this. Like, I can go around and get up behind somebody and subdue them. And like, maybe I skipped past that part of the wordy tutorials or whatever. But like, I did the melee attack and it was just a little and it did nothing, and then I just got gunned down by five different people that homed in on me immediately.
You're very fragile. The AI, the soldiers are psychic, they can find you. The story also, so people who like this game, they defend it because they like the story. Which is kind of Square Enix C-D+ game.txt. Square Enix didn't develop this. They just published it. But the story I assumed was going to be shitty because very early on, my character found a bunch of soldiers pointing guns at the heads of kneeling people. and says, oh, they can't do anything. They're civilians. And then they got shot. And she's like, really shocked.
Yeah.
And I was like, I cannot handle the naivete of this main character.
No.
Well, they can't do it. They're pointing guns at the back of their head. They can't do anything. They're civilians.
They're trying to scare them, you know?
Yeah, they're bulletproof.
It's just a mock execution. Don't get so upset.
It's really boring as well looking. Like the hall, the streets look boring.
Yeah.
You know, like the way to do this kind of thing, I would have liked to see, I want to see this concept done by Arcane, where it's a smaller city zone, but with more interiors.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you could make this work.
Yeah. I want to see like hastily closed businesses. I want to see, you know, life arrested in place. I want to see like underground, you know, like just like basement cells of resistance, you know?
And I want to break into those businesses because I'm trying to craft things to survive.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just my burglary fetish.
Mm-hmm.
On display. Like, I think that would be a cool, like, not only would they be cooler spaces to explore, but it would make sense within the story.
Yes. Yeah. But like, you know, a series, and they're consulting with Kojima. So there has to be some element of like, oh, war is horrible and we have to know this. And the fact that it's like, oh, they're just pointing, they can't kill civilians. And then how dare they? Like, that is dumb. That Begar's belief. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's real bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's a bad thing that makes me think that like, oh, Metal Gear is better. You know, as not a Metal Gear guy. Like the vintage of this is from Metal Gear I like. Like, mm-hmm. I want to do Metal Gear 5 for the show at some point. I like that game a lot.
Yeah.
But this is sloppier and dumber and worse.
Yeah.
And there's when I was reading about the development of this, they're talking about like getting in certain mech designers,
mm-hmm.
you know, for it, to design mechs who are famous for that. I understand this is not true for everyone. They look so anonymous to me in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I don't want them to, like, I don't like it when they take a mech and they make it just a super thin ninja.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't like a Svelte mech.
Yeah. No, you so don't want your Zone of the Enders. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like a Zone of the Enders mech. These are at least chonky boys, but the idea of bragging about who designed them when they look like every single mech that I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, it's very aesthetically anonymous in a way that I think is a
yeah. big failure. And like, there are some where it's like, I can tell like, oh yeah, like that mech, it's got the one roving like Cyclops eye. But I think about that and like, oh, that's just like the Zeon mechs from early Gundam stuff. Like, yeah, I've just kind of seen that before. So it ends up like towing this line. Like, yeah, you got famous designers to come in. I have no idea if that mech was designed by the Gundam guy, but like the effect was like, oh yeah, that's not like a new thing. That just reminds me of this other piece of mecha thing that I enjoyed when I was in, you know, middle school.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like there's a certain kind of mecha fan who just kind of claps.
Yeah.
When they see a mech, you know, and that's basically the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know within the mech community how much discernment there is.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know? That's not me saying there isn't any, but it doesn't. It's something that's impossible for me to see from the outside.
It's not a world that I have any real insight into, you know, like other than Armored Core for Answer is real cool. And the BattleTech Harebrained Schemes game is kind of on my list of things that I eventually would like to mess around with.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. It's the idea of doing a simulator where it's like, what would you be like in a city that was being torn apart by mechs,
mm-hmm.
should be a thing, like an indie game where you just die.
Yes.
Like,
like you, it can happen a number of ways, but it's always 5 seconds after you hit new game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like the shortest This War of Mine. You know, you start out in the house, you're looking at all these stats, you're deciding who needs coffee, who needs cigarettes, and just a bomb hits, and that's it for you.
just a
mech just walks through your house.
Yeah, a mech foot just smears you across the pavement. Yeah.
No, that's it for me. War sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean that I don't think war sucks. Like, that the message is not
mm-hmm.
what is frustrating to me.
Related to that, it wasn't intentional that I brought this game where very clearly Ukraine is being split up. you know?
It is a game about a proxy Ukraine.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally where Ukraine is on the map, and the town, like the city that you're in, is called Nova Slava. It is precisely that. So, oops, didn't mean for that to dig up actual like real life anxieties I have watching fucking footage every day.
Is where people go for things ripped from the headlines.
Not my intention. So
we aim to educate as well as anything.
Yeah. We have notable new information to bring about this horrible conflict that is happening from Central Ohio and from Portland, Oregon, respectively.
Yeah. Yeah. We know what's up.
Yeah.
Let's not get sidetracked on that because I have nothing to say about other than that sucks.
It's a fucking bummer. Same. True. Yeah.
Didn't
mean to do any more than that other than it wasn't intentional and it was a real bummer when I fired it up and saw what it was.
Yeah. It's a bad coincidence.
Yeah. Oh man. What would you do if there was a mech right there? Assuming you don't just die immediately.
Okay. Somebody is in the mech.
Yes, it is an active mech that is not aware of you right now, but plausibly could be.
And am I in my house? Like, am I looking out my window at the mech?
Mm.
Or am I outside?
You are outside, but it is your neighborhood.
Okay. I go home.
Okay.
As fast as I can, trying to stay out in the mech's blind spot if I could.
Okay.
And then I'm not proud to say it, but I might call the police. I know it's a class traitor kind of thing. I understand that, you know, a cab, and I understand that it's a good way to get my cats killed, but I might call the police because for lack of knowing what else to do.
Oh god, those poor police rolling up, they have no idea. Also,
it's my Batman gambit.
Oh Jesus. Yep. Yeah, like I love the world that this has built. Where there's just like, it's not a conflict, like it's not that like okay, you call the police and say hey, there's a mech, and they're like, there's fucking mechs everywhere, dude. And
it's guy with the tank who like stormed through that town.
Yeah, it's Killdozer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a documentary about that guy I want to watch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I understand like there's probably a lot more to the story. I know very little about it other than the log line. Mm-hmm. But the log line is real badass and makes him seem like a hero to me.
It's real it's real going up against the homeowners association kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, which also is badass because fuck Homer, it's a zoning dispute that he was working against for years and years. Yeah.
Tort. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's what I would, what would you do?
I don't know.
Yeah. Die? Like go to bed?
Go to bed. So
take a pill.
Yep. Just to you know, take a half a Xanax, you know, just chill, sit down, read some manga.
You don't think a mech is grounds for a full Xanax? Full Xanax to you?
I only get 10 of them at a time, dude.
I can save that for the next mech.
there might be a bigger one. There might be a huge mech that has more mechs inside of it.
Sure. Or like one of those city mechs, like those bosses from
Yeah. Kojima particles. So you gotta keep your powder dry. Honestly, so like in a rural situation, you know, I might actually just run for the woods.
Hmm.
You know, like there are trails nearby that I know, you know? So unless they start going through and just like plowing over here, I could plausibly survive a little bit longer by running into the wilderness, especially if they are, you know, in going after civilization. If you consider my town to be civilization, they're probably not going to be like going to the woods unless they are specifically looking for me. And it's been a while since I torrented anything, so I don't know why they would be coming after me.
Yeah, the woods, like, maybe they are not able to see you, you know? They could still chase you because trees aren't going to stop them.
No.
But maybe if they don't have thermal vision or something, you might hide there pretty well.
Yeah, and it's just more like more square footage. They would know to look for a person inside of a house, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are eggs to mechs.
They're Kinder eggs. It's like a gachapon machine.
It is. It's like a Kinder egg and sometimes an adult egg. You know, there's sometimes you get both. Sometimes you get the mixed grill, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my, I would make for the scrublands. I would go for, I would go for the tree line, if only to, you know, prolong and hopefully, especially where I'm at, they might just be passing through.
Sure. I was going to like, if the mechs come for your hometown, that would be very surprising.
It would be, yeah. So like if they, you know, so if they like land and deploy in Lake Erie or something like that, or like if they're making roads, you know, south, you know, land there and head south towards like the, you know, the energy rich hills of West Virginia, sure. they would pass through here. So go hide as long as I can, hope it passes. And then get back to the town and, you know, start trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess one of the first things I do is look up the news.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know the consequences of this mech because I think in this scenario, I didn't expect it.
Yes.
And that's a real problem.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to have a warning before I see a mech.
You know, it's one of those things, right? Like, you want to know something spicy before you take a bite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and more than just know that it's spicy, you want to know exactly how. Like,
yeah,
one of the most common things I'll say at a restaurant is I'll be like, is this spicy or is this like food challenge spicy?
Yeah,
is this do I get my picture on a wall or is this just like hot?
Yeah, is this a stunt food, you know, like, yeah. Going to, you know, the Cincinnati big sausage town, right? You always have to ask, is this a stunt sausage or is it a regular sausage?
YouTube has been showing me clips of an old guilty pleasure show that I used to watch with Mac's wife called Man Versus Food.
Oh yeah.
And there's it served up a little interview clip for me. And usually I don't do that cause I don't care about that dude. Like I can enjoy watching an eating challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But,
he wisely gave it up. Like he won. Yeah. He war games.
<killing didn't>. Me.
Yeah.
Like, there's a really funny story told though. Where he was talking about being in one of those towns and he did the challenge and the challenge was to eat 180 oysters.
Okay.
You know, and he ate all the oysters, succeeded at the oysters, which as far as food challenges go, one of the grossest things I can think of.
Yeah.
Like I'm not into a shellfish, but like just 180 oysters, like that being in your body.
Ugh.
Really grosses me out.
I would be keenly aware of the mechanics of digesting that.
Yes. Yeah. And just having a belly full of oysters. The thing I found out from this interview is that he's a little bit ribald and he's talking like he used to go to these cities and like party and like pick up chicks from this. He was on TV and he'd go to these towns to get laid. He was hitting on a girl afterwards, you know, and it was going really well. And a guy walked by and said, "Watch out, girl. He just ate 180 oysters and just kept walking." Which is like the funniest cock block I think I've ever heard. That's good birth control. Like that is,
and like you can't deny it because like your play, your there's move,
video evidence.
Yeah. And also, like it's plausible. Even if it didn't happen, like you're saying, hey, I'm on television for doing doing food crimes. Like, ooh, yeah.
Crimes, so, you know, sometimes things are really spicy. I like to get spicy in the bedroom, and then a guy just walks in and goes, like, he ate 180 oysters.
Yeah.
You know, like this is like you probably don't want to get puked on in general, but you really don't want to get puked on.
Yeah,
and you're much more likely to with this guy.
Yeah, if you shift your weight the wrong way when you're on top, he's just gonna pop like a fucking pinata.
Yeah, it's gonna be just absolutely like a horrible like Innsmouth pinata. Like, he's gonna pop like an Innsmouth pinata. that was a very funny story, and also it kind of squicked me out because I think of that guy as wholesome. That's part of why I liked that show. You know, they do all the little skits and they do the fake questioning thing at the end, and then finding out he was just going to all these towns to get laid made me sad. Like, I'm not sex negative or anything, but
yeah,
there's something about him like cruising for poon after like, you know, eating,
yeah,
it's, you know, it, a 7-pound pancake that feels weird to me.
It's his prerogative to go try and make a baby after eating a, you know, a record-sized Dutch baby, but
yeah.
you know, it runs counter to your image of him. Like if there was a band that you saw and just kind of like you hung out afterwards and saw maybe like what, you know, the lead singer bring some girls into the tour bus, like that would be one thing. Yeah.
It's like the movie Big Fan, like that Patton Oswalt movie.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to learn about the people who, like, if we went, you and I, REM reunites, some weird thing happens and File Underwater has a huge resurgence. Mm-hmm. Like somebody retweets it and it's a big show. So it ends up making sense for us to bring it back and pay for tickets and go see REM.
Yes.
You know, and REM like us enough to where, we get like backstage passes and we go back there and like, Mike Mills is just like, where you get some loose sliz in this town? Like, wouldn't Mike, that be earth shattering? Yeah,
Mike.
My entire morality would be like turned upside down.
He's a role model.
Yeah, like, I mean the whole band is like,
yeah,
Michael Stipe makes some pretty unlistenable music now, but he's still a role model. Like they're still like very good people and models of what to do if you have financial and artistic success. You know, and if somebody was talking about, like, it reminds me of that review thing where it's like, I can't believe my wife left me for someone who's capable of craving a MILF. Like, I can't listen to a band that's capable of craving a MILF.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
God. I can't hear about your Harbor Code anymore. Come on.
Yeah. Like, what are it would set all those REM songs and like, what are these metaphors for now? Like, what are you singing about, Michael?
That sugar cane that tasted good? Oh no.
Yeah. Was that code? This is how pizza gates happen. Is Michael's trying to get laid after a show.
No. You know? Mike.
It sets everything into motion.
Just stay on Twitter being a lukewarm liberal. Mike, come on.
Yeah. I had to stop following you because it was too annoying, but I'd rather have that than have you be skeezy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so like when Man Versus Food was about down, when he was doing his thing and on the prowl, restaurants in cities would start putting stunt stuff on their menu to try and attract him.
Yeah.
I know this because
like a trap.
We've got a 6 foot long hoagie under a gigantic crate propped up by a stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like bait.
I know this because I had a roommate who worked at it's one of the oldest German restaurants in the United States. It's Mecklenburg Gardens in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Wonderful place. I hope it's still open. I hope they've survived COVID because their beer garden's amazing. But they even got into it, like this, you know, super dignified restaurant. They're like, oh yeah, we have a 3 foot long, you know, ultra hot metwurst, you know, on a gigantic bun that we have to like special order from the bakery, and like 6 pounds of sauerkraut, just all this stuff. And I was there when they like did a test run with the biggest eater who was a regular to see if it was possible. You know, just like, okay, let's make sure that, you know, just let's find the closest Man Versus Food equivalent and give it a test run.
Somebody can't go blind from this.
Yes. Yeah. It can't be like Red, that trucker from the Simpsons episode.
Yes.
Yeah. having a sinus is filled with steak. I was there, and the media was there. It was like, local restaurant tries to, you know, win big with Man Versus Food. And it was just sad. It was just like, oh God, he couldn't finish it, and he got just like real. It was all like once it was clear he was gonna slow down and couldn't make it through, like the wind went out of everybody's sails.
Yeah, well, the show, they edit it to be exciting the whole time, but some of the challenges are 90 minutes or 2 hours. And just imagine trying to keep the enthusiasm up watching somebody eat cold food for 90 minutes.
Yeah, watching somebody hurt themselves, like,
yeah. And just stay pumped for the cameras, like some production assistants running around saying like, no, cheer them on, let's get a chant going.
Yeah.
You know, we need some B-reel.
You would have to rotate the crowd is what you would have to do.
Yeah.
Like anybody who's like notable or close, like they can stay there. So like, you know, it doesn't pop off. Anybody's, you know, nobody clocks the extras, but like, you've got to like bring in fresh people who are not horrified.
Yeah. I think those people should be paid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And they aren't, you know, of course, but I think that you should get paid to cheer on Man Versus Food.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I would do if there was a mech.
Yeah. Restart man versus food.
Yep. Yeah. Just shock and horrify any of the mech pilots. So they say there's no sense killing him. He's already dead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nobody can do the meat mech challenge.
you think war's horrible.
Yeah. Ooh, like this mech worst. We've made this horrible spicy mech worst.
It's a, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I have anything else. Really? Yeah,
there's no real good game facts on this. This is just a very poorly put together game. I don't, a cool idea, the idea of being on foot in this world of mechs, but I think you'd be better off just playing the first act of Metal Gear Solid 4, which is kind of a similar deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Front Mission 3.
Oh yeah, just play Front Mission 3.
The thing that I was going out to get mad. Mm-hmm. When I looked for this, so I know that's not smart, but I did it anyway. I was like, this is, every game that Square Enix publishes, somebody loves despite it being bad.
Yeah, you warned me when you got it in the mail.
Yeah, I was like, get ready to get yelled at, because everything that Square Enix does, somebody's like, oh, this is secretly great.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they haven't made a good game in a very long time. I'm not going to fact check that. Mm-hmm. I think I probably don't believe that, but mm-hmm. I do get, it is no longer a mark of quality to me.
Yeah, you're skeptical.
Seeing that name on there. Very skeptical. And there is a mild resurgence of this. I thought there'd be a hardcore one,
mm-hmm.
because it has the type.
The mild resurgence of this, of like appreciation for Left Alive.
Yeah, reevaluation.
Gotcha.
Like, this is actually a cult classic.
Gotcha.
There's a little bit of that, but not as much as I feared.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, That kind of thing is cool and fine, and it's cool when it happens for games that are just like I love a double A or a B game that flies under the radar.
Yeah,
that is just competent and kind of interesting. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But then having played this and just being like, this is just dog shit. Like, it doesn't have anything that, like, I don't know what to recommend this.
Yeah,
and it's rare that we run into something like that.
Yeah,
on the show.
It's real. I mean, it's real, like 2009 PS3, also ran,
yes,
kind of stuff. Like, this feels like the effort of a studio that, like, biffed it in developing 3D game development talent in the PS2 era, and like used the last of its budget on a big swing that they had no actual ability to follow through on in the PS3 era. That's what this feels like to me.
Yeah. It's not even just boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted it to just be boring. It's not just boring.
Yeah. It is boring, and it resists enjoyment. It resists me playing it.
Yeah. A horror, a duet of displeasure.
Yeah.
So,
oh, well,
yeah, it's fine. Like, doesn't really matter for our purposes.
Nope.
And now I know I own a copy of Left Alive.
Yep.
So if you feel like home invading me for it, I'll leave it under the welcome mat.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, a Steam copy of this is still $60. Yeah. but I got the, so it's a day one copy that I got 3 years after it was released. Like, it has the day one edition on it.
Yeah, the sales thing for this is really depressing. It sold first week, it sold 17,600 units, which is real low.
That's like good for an indie, but for something with, this.
Yeah. Would not light the world on fire as an indie or anything.
Yeah.
But for just like a big Square game. Apparently, I didn't watch them either, but apparently also there are interviews that Square had to do in support of this, and the people look like somebody's holding a gun to their head off camera. Like, they're so bored and tired, mm-hmm. and unexcited about this.
I can't get blood from a stone, guys. I can't act excited about this nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, thanks for going on this ride with me.
Yeah. No worries. We can do this show about anything.
Yep.
If you are hearing this, we appreciate you. If you want to hear more or you want to support us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us some dollars. At $5 a month, you get a bunch of bonus shows and bonus episodes of this show.
Yeah. $10, you get more stuff, including access to the full backlog of bonus episodes of this show. There are upwards of 150 of them now, I believe. Something like that. You can also leave a rating or review of the show and tell your friends and come back next week. All of those are things that we enjoy.
We would really appreciate that. Until next time, what else can they do?
Until next time. Oh, God, Gary, Max here.
Oh, geez.
Every time.